Although sometimes life throws you a curveball and life's problems may cause you to pause, Life with Michelle will help you heal and get through it all. Because she is helping all push past yield, she will make it a good day to smile. She will make it a good day to laugh. She will make it a good day to live, mixing all life's experiences in a bundle of love. She will guide you to the road of happy, because all is well on Life with Michelle, the Queen of Happy.
I'm grateful for early in the morning, the dawn of a new day, new hope, new dream, new way. I open up my eyes and I open up my mind and I wonder how life will surprise me today.
Welcome to Living Life Well with Michelle Reloaded, and we are talking about breaking the cycle of bad relationships tonight. I am so excited for the opportunity to speak with you. I am your host, your certified holistic coach, your certified life coach, author, publisher, and all-American woman, and a lover of people and world changer. I just am excited to be discussing this topic with you this evening, because I think that relationships is this topic of discussion that can never grow tired, because we have so many people that deal with relationship issues. There are many types of relationships, but we're going to be talking about romantic relationships between a man and a woman. I've talked to so many women, young women, young and wiser, but it seems to be a reoccurring pattern of dealing with certain types of relationships. And it really bothers me to the point, because I know that so many women have some amazing talents, and I want to empower women to just be the woman that you're designed to be, because if you're not that, then you're someone else, and your relationships are affected because of it. I was reading an article about bad relationships, and it made me want to talk about it, because so many people get so much information, and once you get so much information, it's hard for you to just take all that in. So you have to it's good for people to out there like myself and people who discuss about relationships to really go in and talk about these topics, because people are looking for places where they can just reference without paying a whole lot of money to get help from these relationships. So what we're going to talk about first, let's talk about what are bad relationships. How do you, we're going to talk about how you can, take some actions to fix those three things or several things. One of the things that easily know that you're in a bad relationship when your partner, when the person that you're with is constantly is controlling you as an individual, because there should be individuality in a relationship. And if there isn't, if one person is controlling the other person, I mean, it could be mentally, spiritually, physically, all of those things. If a person is controlling who you are, there's no liberty in the relationship. So therefore, you as an individual have to have your own identity. So one of the things to identify with, if you're being controlled in a relationship, your every move, what you can, and sometimes it's not as subtle as you may think. You may not even know that you're being controlled in a relationship. A person can demand your time or create situations where you guys are always constantly together, and you're thinking that they're doing a wonderful thing trying to include you in what they're doing. But in essence, they're actually controlling you as an individual. You have, you know, aspirations and goals and things that you want to achieve, but they have this, you don't realize that they're hiding behind an insecurity, and they feel the need to have you always around. And because if they know that you're always around, they know that you're not out there with someone else. So that pacifies their insecurities. But if you're away, if you know that if you're away, that person may or may not be able to, is strong enough to be in the relationship with you, but then they want to be in the relationship with you so bad that they're playing this role to keep you in a relationship, because insecurities and jealousies really, you know, drive a strong wedges between relationships, and they can ultimately bring a relationship down to the ground. But we're going to talk about, you know, first is control. If you're being controlled in a relationship, whether it be mentally, physically, or spiritually, you know, sometimes people can even tell you how to believe. You know, I've run across where sisters would try to use scriptures to keep a man in her life, and that man thinking she's, you know, really a spiritual person when she really isn't a spiritual person. She's a person hiding behind a veil. She's one of those women. You have you ever heard of the woman, Delilah, in the Bible, how she brought Samson down, and she brought him down with his strength, you know, because of her beauty and all of those things. She was controlling Samson to a point, and, you know, he wasn't careful enough because he, you know, his strength was in his hair, and, you know, when, you know, he listened to her instruction and not really paying attention, he was brought down, his strength was brought down. And women will, and sisters, you know, I'm going to get on the men's too, but, you know, I'm just trying to help you identify what bad relationships are. Now, you know, a sister, you know, that is very cunning and manipulative can use things that are, you know, wonderful, or, you know, that things that you like, whether it be spiritual, you know, if she knows that you're a spiritual person, she'll use spiritual things to try to control you. And you thinking that, you know, this is a wonderful sister, she's amazing, wonderful, and all these wonderful things. But if you stand back and look a little bit closer, she's controlling you. She'll throw out scriptures like, you know, just random scriptures to let you know that, you know, you're being fooled by someone else, when in essence, she's using scriptures to fool you or to manipulate your thinking or your thinking process or, you know, your spiritual connection with what God is trying to truly tell you in your heart and in your mind. And she will use those things to try to control you. And this is such a sad situation because people are so desperate to be in relationships that they will use any tactic to be with a person who they may not, you know, they're not supposed to be with. So, you know, these are some of the things to pay attention to. Someone that is controlling. And, you know, sometimes you don't know that you're being controlled, but if you really give your relationship with that other person or that partner and give it a strong evaluation, and if you allow yourself to think with a clear mind and an open mind, then you will begin to see that everything that is on the surface is not really the way it is. Have you ever heard that phrase where things are not always the way they appear? And that is so true because, you know, in relationships, if you're not really paying attention to what's going on around you, thinking that, you know, I'm going to higher heights and deeper depths with this person that I'm with, but they're putting a veil over your eyes and you're not really paying attention because you're just living in the moment, and you're finding yourself on a fast track to doomed relationships where you're thinking everything is all going well, and it really isn't. Let me give you some other signs of a bad relationship. We talked about number one as being something that's controlling. Well, you know, have you ever really thought about a person that is so untrusting? the lack of trust is just a prescription for bad, for, you know, for having been in a bad relationship. Because if you are constantly accusing your partner, even if you're, you know, you, if you're constantly accusing that person, that's something unresolved within yourself that you need to personally deal with. And a lot of people don't necessarily look at it in that way. If you're constantly, even though, you know, the person that you're with may give you probable cause that they're perhaps unfaithful to you, but a lot of times it's not always the case. Sometimes we drive the person that we're with to do the very thing that you're accusing them of. And so sometimes you just really have to really look at it, you know, again, evaluate your relationship. I think that every relationship should always go through an evaluation period. Just like, you know, on a job, you know, we get an evaluation for our job performance just to see where you are. You should check up on your relationship because people can become so complacent in a relationship. They just, you know, just live in that moment and not really knowing what the other person is feeling on a consistent basis. I think, you know, I don't think it should be, you know, something that, you know, out of paranoia, but I think that we should always pay attention to our relationship, schedule some special time out to just evaluate the relationship, because the person that you're with will respect it. If they have good intentions, they will respect that you're checking in on your relationship, because that diminishes the urge for you to want to accuse them, the urge for you to allow insecurities to come forth within yourself. Because if you don't have trust in a relationship, you are already truly don't have a relationship. You know, there will be some, you know, there are people that will test you, but you have to know who to trust within your relationship. You have to know exactly who to allow in your life. I'm very meticulous about who I spend my time with. I'm very meticulous about, you know, if I value a lot of things that he don't value, the things that I like, or, you know, just life in general, then that's the person that I don't want to be with or spend my time with. You know, it's not about, a lot of times women allow ourselves, we allow ourselves to spend time with men that we know that their heart is not good, you know, for all intents purposes. They don't have a good heart, or just in general, they're not good people. They're just a man to spend some time with. You should never want to lower yourself to a point where you just want to spend time with somebody of the opposite sex. Make yourself useful in your life. But I guarantee you that urge to just spend your time with anybody that it will be wasting your time or just won't even be good company to you, you will find yourself just, you know, getting closer and closer, because a lot of times when you spend time with a person, just a natural reaction, a natural magnet occurs, and you become drawn to that person and emotionally tied to that person because you're spending time with that person and no one else. So don't allow yourself to be an emotional magnet and allow yourself to get into a relationship that is magnetizing your, you know, just draining you of all your strength and all your love, and you find yourself stuck in that position with a person that you know that, you know, is not good for you. In any relationship, let me tell you exactly how you know you're in a good relationship, is that when you're in a good relationship, you know the person that you're with brings out the best in you, and you both bring out the best in each other. And I can't say that enough. Either both of you have good intentions toward each other, and the both of you feel it's important enough to support each other. That's a sign of a good relationship. That's not the only sign, but those are good indications of being in a good relationship. But tonight we're talking about breaking the cycle of bad relationships, and we're going down some of the things to identify with that, because you, in order for you to break a cycle, you have to get to the root of the problem and figure out what it is that is, you know, keeping you constantly in these bad relationships. And we were just speaking on trust. If you do not trust the partner that you're with, then you just do not simply need to be with that person. For whatever reason, it doesn't mean that they're guilty of anything. But if you can't find it within yourself to trust that person, And that person is not wrong. I'm saying that you need to figure out what that unresolved thing is within you, because that stems from somewhere. Jealousy comes from a lot of places. And don't get me wrong, you can have just a tad bit of healthy jealousy, but because even God himself says that he is a jealous God. But, you know, there's a distinct line from just a smidgen of jealousy as opposed to a sea of great jealousy, and then, a quarter size, measurement of jealousy. You know, as jealousy grows, you become a person that's, just crazy in a relationship, and you become a person that's, you're unable to be around, people don't want to be around a jealous person. I'm going to share a little story about a relationship that I was in that a person was jealous. And, it just really bothered me to the point that this person would be jealous. And me being a person, I feel like I've always been brought up a certain way. And I feel like everybody's innocent until proven guilty. And that's how I've always believed, but that keeps me sane, and that keeps me, a lot of people think that's being naive, but it isn't. It's keeping yourself fresh in your mind, and you thinking clearly. And one of the things that in this relationship I'm getting ready to tell you guys about, I have a stint of 16 years in the real estate industry, and I was with this individual. I didn't even know that he was following me when I, had taken around clients. And I was working with particularly a male client, and he had one of those names, unisex names. I believe his name was Tracy or Leslie. I don't remember, but it was something that could be a name that could be a male or a female's name. And I remember telling my partner the night before, I have a new client, and this is their name, and, just not really reporting to them, but just having a conversation about me getting a new client. So we'll just say his name was Leslie. And I kept saying, I have a wonderful client, he got approval for, $200,000 on a house and things of that nature. So I'm going to be working with a new client. And, thinking my partner will be excited, we had the conversation. But as I began to work and continue to work, something happened. I had been working with this client for quite some time. And the client would ride in the car with me because he wasn't familiar with the area that he wanted to move to. But he needed to move there because he had just got in a new position and needed to be near, the place where he was getting ready to start working at. And it's a custom process that realtors drive their clients around in their houses. Back in the day when I got started in real estate, at least it was. And so I would drive my client around to, from home to home. And lo and behold, coming back to my office, my partner, he was supposed to be at work, and the car just right in the front of my car. And who was it? The person that I was dating, who I was engaged to be married to, just pulled up in front of the car, and just got out, just so upset that I was with this person. And not really realize, giving me a chance to say this is my client who I was telling you about, but he just went off on the deep end. And, by the time we got to a point, because my client, he was a really nice guy, so he wasn't going to let anything go down. There was no physical activity going down, but he saw the anger, so, he kind of interjected to make sure that nothing wasn't going to happen. And so I got down to the point, and, I told my partner to calm down. What's going on? Why are you not at work? And more importantly, why are you here at my office confronting me, in such a manner? And, he explained. He said, I thought you said you were supposed to be at work and things of that nature. You're working with a new client, and their name is blah, 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 Leslie. And I said, well, this is the client I've been talking to you about. And he just felt like a total butthole, for lack of a better word. Maybe I should rephrase that. But, honestly, he felt so low that, you know, and then, but it made, it got me to start thinking how if a person is this jealous of you, they're usually guilty of something themselves, and they need to, you know, kind of put that energy off on someone else, and what a better way than to put it off on the partner that you're with. Even if he wasn't guilty of anything, maybe he was on the verge of something and just needed to, I don't know, you know, whatever was driving her crazy. Because don't get me wrong, I met a lot of male clients, you know, but that was the industry that I was in. You know, real estate, I met all kinds of people, you know, in that industry, you know, I used to get people send me flowers and candy and things of that nature. So you can't control someone else does. As long as they don't disrespect your relationship, and you don't have to be, you know, I'm not going out with these people. I can't stop them from sending flowers to my office or candy to my office or asking me, you know, out. But it's up to me to know that I'm in a relationship to say no, I'm in a relationship. That's the only responsibility that I have when people react in a certain way like that. But getting back to the story, We everything, the whole atmosphere finally calmed down after, you know, everything was said and, you know, wasn't said. But that right there was a classic case of being in the wrong type of relationship, a bad relationship, because if a person does not trust you in the relationship, both of you will never be happy, totally happy in a relationship, because there's a miscommunication there. There's something broken in that relationship, and that's trust. What that means is when a person don't, you know, accuse their partner of being jealous, even if they're guilty of something, but if yes, this is something that constantly bothers you and just constantly is something that irks you, that means that something is broken in that relationship. And, you know, and the number one thing is the trust. So the both of you or one of you have not figured out how to trust the person that you're with. It is so important to trust the partner that you're with. You know, my process of being in a relationship, I just choose to trust the person. And if they do something to betray that trust, then everything else is in their ball, you know, in their court. The ball is in their court. And then at that point, also, you have to be a person that's strong enough to say, hey, this is not the type of relationship that I deserve. And, you know, therefore, you know, I'm just going to go my separate way. Because if a person that you choose to trust, you give them your trust and they betray that trust, you know, that's right there. That's a disrespect to you. So you have to learn how to be strong enough to walk away from them types of situations. And, you know, I've been, you know, taught by, you know, my uncles, from an early age on how to be strong as a woman. My uncle taught me how to have thick skin at a young age. You know, back then I didn't understand what he was doing. But, you know, right now I can appreciate being able to be strong enough to walk away from situations. Share with you really quickly. I remember being, I think I was 7 or 8 years old. There was a little boy on our block. He really liked me. And I had no idea that this little boy liked me because he was always hitting me. And one day he hit me in my stomach, and I went home crying and to my uncle. And I thought my uncle was just going to defend me and just embrace me and hug me. It was the total opposite. And I cannot believe what went down. And my uncle, he was one of those, you know, muscle-bound persons. He had a handicap, but he was just really strong. He took his fist, balled it up, and I'm being transparent because I want you to be totally, you know, I like to be transparent and share real-life situations with people so you can really get to understand exactly what went down. He took his fist. I'm 8 years, 7 or 8 years old, mind you. He took his fist. We were on the front porch after I ran to him and told him that the little boy hit me. He took his fist and knocked me all the way across the front porch. And I think it wasn't a long distance, but it was, you know, for a young girl, that's a long distance, you know, on the front porch. You knocking me down. I'm thinking, why are you hitting me? And my uncle, these are his very exact words that he said to me. And I'm not going to say the N-word, but he used the N-word. He said, never, don't you ever let an N man hit you. Or a boy at the time, don't you ever let a hit you. And I'm thinking, like, what is the problem? I'm 8 years old, and 7 or 8 years old, and he's giving me instruction right now that I don't even understand. But you know what? I remember that. I remember that as a young, you know, as a young woman growing up, I never dealt with a lot of things that most women deal with in relationships, because I always had somebody in my ear teaching me something, whether it's from the church or from my uncle, teaching me how to be strong and not so to the point where, you know, guys didn't want to be around me, because that was the total opposite. I always had, you know, some endearing young men that, you know, wanted to be in my life. But I learned a valuable lesson that at a young age that you have to be a woman that's strong enough to walk away from a bad situation. If a man is hitting you, then you have to be strong enough to walk away from that. If a man is being verbally abusive against you, you have to be strong enough to walk away from that. And those are some of the things, when you have the right type of people in your life, they will you know, teach you how to be that. And as children, we learn from the people that we're around. So, you know, this is one of the key points that I want to bring out. We learn from the people that we're around. So when women are in bad relationships, that's because they have witnessed something in their lifetime where they said they grew up thinking that this was the certain type of relationship to be in. A lot of women that are in abusive relationships, they've either witnessed their moms being in abusive relationships or witnessed somebody in that close to them that abusing someone in a relationship and thought that's the way a relationship should be. And, you know, people who realize as children, this is what we learn. We learn about life early on from the people that we're around, because the people that we're influenced by. And because my uncle was an influence on me, it turned out to be a good thing for me. But, you know, and yet he was still an influence. And so, therefore, it kept me from making certain types of decisions in relationships. You know, if I felt like a brother, because you can almost tell within the first few minutes. They tell us in real estate, within the first 10 minutes, you know if a person is a person that you need to work with. And I apply that same thing to relationships. You know, within the first few minutes of a conversation, you can tell if a man, because a person thinks that they can hide, especially if you're a spiritual person, a person thinks that you can hide who you really are, but you can't really hide who you really are unless a person just totally chooses not to pay attention to the signs. But, you know, there are trigger signs right early on in a relationship. If he's cussing in your presence, and, you know, and so that's a disrespect. But, you know, a lot of people say that everybody uses foul language or whatever, but a man that wants to respect you and gets to know you and just kind of be respectful towards you, he won't say certain things in front of you. And if he does, that means he doesn't mean that he's a bad person. That just means that he hasn't, you know, he don't have the inkling to respect you as an individual. And so those are some of the signs that you need to pay attention to. And, you know, my sisters, these are some of the things. Once you define or figure out what bad relationships are, you will recognize that pattern early on and be able to walk away from those situations, because you got to know your worth, and you got to know that you deserve better in a relationship. So we talked about, I shared with you that story because, you know, I think it's just important, because our days of our youth are the moments where we're going through that development stages, and we are influenced by the people where we are around. So allow yourself to, you know, first we talked about, you know, identifying with you know, trust and jealousies and things of that nature. So we definitely have to look at those signs. Pay attention. These discussions are things that, you know, it's not something new under the sun. Even the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that we speak about, you know, people make money from and things of that nature, we do life coaching and stuff, and someone else has already taught it, but there's only so many people that one person can reach. So my mission is to reach the person that God has assigned me to reach in my conversations or in my practice of life coaching and ministering to people in certain types of ways. So let's go down to another issue that we have in relationships, and so that we can understand how to break those cycles. If a person that you're with puts you down in private or in front of other people, ladies, let me tell you, that is a classic case of being in a bad relationship. Classic. Because if a person puts you down and at the same time they're saying that they're supposed to love you, but they're putting you down, again, there's something unresolved within them where they need to feel to put you, they need to feel they feel better about themselves, so they put you down in the presence of others or privately. So that is a classic sign. You don't try to work that relationship out, because first of all, he said that you unworthy, you ain't all that. If a man feels that way about you, sisters, get your strength, know your worth, place a value on yourself, that, you know, affirm to yourself, I am worth love. I am love, so I have to walk as love, and I deserve love. So if you understand and walk as love and live love and become a magnet to love, then all those people that aren't love, you know, showing you love or being showing you loving affection toward you, then you'll be able to bounce them off, because they can't magnetize to a person of love. So I always tell women to become love, and that, you know, becoming love requires you dealing with evaluating yourself eternally, you know, and coming to grips with truly with who you are, and getting rid of those things from your past pain, because a lot of times all of those things that are unresolved in us is because of something that we dealt with previous to going into a relationship with another person. And you figure, why am I keep getting into these relationships? Because you have not gotten down to the root of what the issue is. And it usually is something that from your childhood, or just, you know, consistently being in a bad relationship that's unresolved, and you haven't identified with that. And, you know, let me quickly tell you, ladies, how you identify. You have to steal away and to yourself and learn how to be single in the moment and work on yourself. I've been in that period of beauty. Sometimes I said on the last show, sometimes I just wake up just feeling beautiful on the inside, because I've begun that cycle of emptying myself of anything that's not pleasing or not beautiful or that's not kind, and allow myself to become empty so God can fill me up with his beauty and his love. And so these are some of the things that I want to share with my sisters, because you guys, you know, you're so beautiful. You're so worthy to be loved. So allow yourself to be found by love instead of allowing yourself to stay in relationships that you know that are not working. I don't care how fine he is, how much money it is, you know, and yes, he may be so fine that it's another woman already waiting for him to scoop him up, but you have to dismiss that and know that you're worth, because you have to understand that what she's getting, what you're going through and doing with him, with bad situations so toxic that she's going to inherit that and you're going to be relieved from it. So let it go. You know, if that person is waiting in the violence for a person that's so toxic, and don't worry about it working or anything, because a person will not change for another person overnight. A person will not just change for a person. A person will change because they want to change. There are some people who that you will meet that will make you not, you don't want to be right, live right, and so, but still you're making the decision to change on yourself, and that's what typically happens with men. If they meet that one woman that he knows that he will not disrespect, he will respect, honor, you know, protect her and all those. Men, typically, a man that he can be on the wild, but if he finds that one woman that does everything, you know, she don't even have to say a word, but just her mere presence brings him joy. He will, you know, a man will come in. You know what I mean? A man will come in and do whatever it is. You don't have to make a man change. If you have to make a man change, get off, you know, change this, change that, you know, that man is not the right for one for you. And, you know, because a man, there is something, you know, a trigger inside of a man. He just knows that, you know, in order for me to step to this woman, I have to be correct. I have to change. I remember being a young girl, you know, and I always have stories because, you know, we, as life goes on, things occur, you know, and I've lived. So I remember being in a relationship. You know, we went in a romantic relationship, but it was a friend of mine, and he had a lot of female friends. But he, you know, he trusted me a lot. He trusted me with his secrets. He trusted me to, you know, he told me things that he has never told anyone else. And to this day, those things that he, you know, confided in me with, they have been kept because he was my friend. But the thing was is that he knew at one point we were having a real deep conversation, and he kind of went there. He you know, expressed himself. He told me that he loved me. And so, you know, me being that this is my friend, so we never talked about being romantically involved, you know, but he kind of caught me off guard. But he said to me that he knew that in order for me, him to be a part of my life in any other kind of way, romantically, that he knew that he was going to have to straighten up. And he couldn't come to me any kind of way. But, yeah, that sounded like a great compliment, and I respect him for that, and I honor him for that. But at the same time, that's saying to the both of us that he wasn't the one for me to be romantically involved with. He could only be my friend because he wasn't the one. Even if he felt to have those feelings that, or he knew, he was just also identifying with that he knew that I was a respectful woman and that he knew that, you know, he could love a woman like me. But again, a man that truly, truly wants to be with that right woman, he will, it will, something in him will compel him so profoundly that he will just turn himself around because he wants to be in your life. And he knows that he cannot be in your life if he's living a certain kind of way. And a man will rise up, a man with good intentions will rise up to the occasion to be in your relationship, and he will walk in that relationship with honesty and, you know, and all of those respect. He would have, you know, this profound respect for you as the, you know, woman in his life, and he wouldn't want to do anything to hurt you in any kind of way. And ladies, I share that story with you is because people, you know, when I've shared that story in the past, people got all excited. Girl, he's the one. But no, wisdom will tell you, I knew he wasn't the one. He knew he wasn't the one for me. But he had feelings of love toward me because we were friends. And he shared intimate things, you know, with me. But again, a man that truly knows that he has met the one, I could be, you know, just all of my, I could be just like a tinge bit, you know, I could best describe it as this. I'm just a tinge bit of being the person that he knows he's ultimately supposed to be with. So he sees those qualities in me. And so I took it as that, and we remained friends until, you know, he got, you know, he's not with us any longer. But the thing is that when a person says those things or, you know, pours from their heart like that, a man pours from his heart like that, that means he's thinking about those things. And ladies, let me let you in on a secret that, you know, he and I often talked about. He was one of those men out there. He was a handsome man, and he would have women at his beck and call. And we never, you know, were romantically involved. But inside, he was a good person. He had a good heart. And a lot of women can't see a man with a good heart as a friend, you know, even though he's, you know, a ladies' man. I'll just put it that way. He was a ladies' man. But at the in the privacy of conversation with a real person that's his friend, that's not trying to be in a relationship with him, he was able to share what he was truly feeling. And that's when a man knows that he can trust you. When he begins to share things about his life that he won't normally talk to anyone, even not even his boys, he'll tell you that that means that he totally trusts you. And you want that, you know, that type of trust in your relationship where he trusts you with things that he would not, you know, that he normally wouldn't tell anyone else. But you also got to be able to identify with a person being the one. I didn't jump on a, you know, bandwagon because he said he loved me. I didn't jump on and say, you know, oh my, I'm going to be the one who's going to make him turn around, you know, again. But I was taught to have some thick skin, and I got some, you know, good guidance from church and things of that nature. But I knew when he was having a conversation with me that he was serious about what he was talking about. But I knew also spiritually, using the wisdom that was taught to me as a young girl growing up, just because a man expresses feelings towards you, ladies, and let me tell you something, just because a man expresses his feelings toward you, that don't mean that he wants a relationship with you. It just means that what it is. It is what it is. He's expressing, you know, love towards you, friendship towards you, and that doesn't mean that he's, you know, you're supposed to be in a relationship with that particular person. All right, moving on right along, but I wanted to share that story because those are some of the things that causes bad relationships, because women, we jump too fast when a man expresses any type of affection or emotional transference with us, then we automatically think that he's the one. You can't allow you. As women, we need to stop thinking that because a man expresses a certain way that we are the one. It just could mean that, you know, I've had a lot of male friends that I was never romantically involved with that expressed love toward me all the time because I was taught not to, you know. Be, you know, treat them like, you know, they are supposed to be my boyfriend or, you know, my partner. I don't like saying boyfriend. That seems so adolescent, but that's what people say. But I always say my partner. But, you know, when you in a relationship as a friend, let that just be a friendship. It could, you know, someday turn into something else. But you have to go through that process and allow that to happen. If it's meant to happen, ladies, it will happen. But stop running, chasing men away, because if they are only prepared for friendship, guess what? They can only give you a friendship. But if you try to force something, they may give you what you want, and you will get hurt in the process because he was trying to tell you, you know, in so many ways that he wasn't ready for a relationship. And if you force and he, you know, buckles under that pressure, you will find yourself in that relationship and quickly out of it, you know, thereafter. All right, we're talking about breaking the cycle of bad relationships. We know that we have to identify what, you know, things make relationships bad. So those are some of the things that we have to identify with. You know, understand who you're communicating with. Understand, you know, don't all automatically assume that that a relationship is a romantic relationship because you're very close to somebody, because it may not even be the case. But we were just talking about putting down a person in private or in front of others, if prior to the story I was telling you guys. But if a person is putting you down, you definitely need to know that just common sense should tell you that this person is not the person that you need to be with, because no, love does not put love down. So if he's not dealing with you in love, then, you know, he has no love for you or respect for you if he has to put you down to make himself feel good. Here's something else to think about. If you feel like you're in a relationship and you don't feel like you're an equal partner, your partner feels like you like a subordinate under him, you know, like your opinion doesn't matter. If you're constantly in a relationship where a guy is living in back in the 50s where, you know, where women didn't have a voice, where weren't allowed to have a voice, and I think that goes to you know, people misinterpret what the Bible is saying scripturally about, you know, husband and wives being submissive, but that's another conversation. But that is something that's always construed to even, you know, control a relationship. Even if you're not married to your partner or the person that you're with, a lot of times people have that mentality. They take that mentality and use scriptures, the Bible, use God to enforce their feelings or enforce their actions or to justify their actions towards you. And, you know, and forget about what the scripture said, that, you know, you, each of you should love each other, that the husband should respect his wife and love her as Christ loved the church. And so there's a lot of things that people overlook when they're trying to say be submissive in a relationship. There's a certain person that submissiveness is not being enslaved to that person either. I just need to put that out there really quickly. But submissiveness, I'm getting tight, Tonk, here, a little excited about talking about this topic tonight. But it does not mean that you are supposed to be enslaved to this person, where you don't have an opinion, or you can't, you know, make any rules or anything like that. Yes, the man is the head of the household, but the scripture backs it up that the wife should be the helpmate to the husband. So if you're helping a person, how can you not have an opinion? How can you not enforce some things? So it has to be an even balance. It's just common sense and spiritual sense and wisdom that people ought to use. If you're in a relationship, you know, there should be an equal partnership in the relationship. So a person that you will shouldn't make you feel like you're not an equal partner in the relationship. There should be a 50-50 partnership. Just like if you're in a company, if some people want to be in control, even if they want 51% and they give you 49%, guess what? That 1% says that this person has an ego and they want to be in control. That 2%, that 2% over you is saying that this person wants to be in control. So that's a red flag right there. If a person is only giving you 49% of it, you know, saying that, you know, you only have 49% of the stay in this relationship and I have 51%, that's saying right there they have communicated to you indirectly that they want to control you, control the relationship. They want to control how you think about this relationship, how you interact with this relationship. So right there, that is the red flag that you should definitely pay attention to, because your partner will want to value your opinion. He will want to, you know, that means if he values your opinion, he's saying that you have quality to yourself, you are very smart, intelligent. So he respects what you have to say, what you have to contribute to the relationship, how it goes and things of that nature. So you want someone like that in your life. And not someone that's saying, hey, it's my way or the highway. Let's go down here very quickly to also, this is so, so important. I'm a very ambitious person, and I aspire to do a lot of things. I've done a lot of those things, but, you know, I have a creative mind, so you can find me doing little things, little projects and big projects. You know, I would try to do whatever I can. If I'm inspired to do it, I will, you know, take a stab at it because that's who I am. But if you have a partner that don't have any long-term or short-term goals, I hate to say it, but that is a relationship that you definitely do not want to entertain, because if you are a person that have goals and you're working toward reaching those goals and manifesting those goals in your life, and here you have a partner that just don't aspire to do anything. Nothing inspires this person to take action, to think about who they want to be, what they want to contribute to the future of your relationship or their life. Then there's a clear indication that that is a lazy person. That is a person that wants nothing and will quickly, if you allow yourself to be in that relationship, all the aspirations ambitions that you have, you will quickly allow yourself to be brought down to their level. If you allow yourself to get in a relationship for the sake of having a relationship, women, we have to be strong enough to accept that a man of quality, he's not going to, you know, want you to stop being who you are as an individual. He's going to applaud what you're doing in your life. He's going to be excited with you. He's going to be want to be a part of it in any way that he can to show support. So, you know, those are some of the things that you definitely need to identify with so that you can break the cycle of repeating the bad relationship that you are in. You know, ladies, you have to put you first. Hey, let me tell you something. You know, with me having male friends in my lifetime, sharing really, you know, just great advice, you know, just being a friend to me, that men love women who care about themselves or take care of themselves first. Because what it says to him, if you take care of yourself financially, spiritually, physically, all of those things, that if they were considering being in a relationship with you, then they know that whatever you have to contribute in the relationship, you're going to help take care of them as well. Whatever needs they have in the relationship, they know that they can trust you to do your part. So that's very important to pay attention to, ladies. Pay attention to being there for yourself. We got all these songs, you know, out there. You know, the Destiny Child has this song called Cater to You. Yeah, we want to cater to our men, but at the same time, when we're catering to our men, we have to know that he is willing to cater to you as well, because, again, like we said earlier, it should be a 50-50 partnership and not a 51-49 split in the relationship, you know. So it should be an even balance in the relationship. You know, ladies, these are some of the things that you have to identify with. Stop allowing yourself to be in relationships that are unbalanced. If a relationship is unbalanced, then it's not going to work. You're going to ultimately, if you start not being, the first few months may be great, but, you know, all of those things that's true to them start surfacing, coming up to the surface, and you start ignoring it because you say, you know, you don't want to be single. Well, you know, being single is not a death sentence. Being single is that moment in that time where you can be being the wonderful woman, that superwoman that you are, and working on that business, doing all the things that you desire to do, travel, and if you're unable to travel, just do all the things, get involved in things that you want to be involved in, and guess what? While you're occupying your time, just like the Bible says that, Naomi found her Boaz. She, you know, strategically was placed in a position where she was recognized by Boaz, and so, you know, we have to be in a position where we allow those things to happen. You know, God is not going to forget about, you know, us needing love. You know, he's not going to forget that because he is a God of love. So he's not going to forget about that we need companionship. He's not going to forget that. When we're trying to force God's hand, we forget that, you know, he's the one in control of our destiny. He's the one in control of everything around us. So allow him to do that. Allow him to create or, you know, just do whatever it needs. You may even know your partner, but it may not be time for you guys to come together as one. Maybe you have some things that you need to work on. Maybe he has some you know, maybe he has some things that God needs to work on, and you can know that God can show you that, you know, you can supposed to be in a relationship with this person, but he's not ready yet. You're not ready yet, so you have to pay attention to those things. Allow yourself to occupy yourself doing what it is that you love to do yourself as a single woman, and then go forth. You know, as you know, doing what it is that you do, and because the Bible says, he that finds, he that finds a wife finds a good thing. So when he finds you, all the things that you love doing, you're already doing those, and he'll just fall in place. Just to fall in place and properly align with whatever it is that you're doing in your life. Don't try to force a man to be in your life that's not supposed to be there. That's holding on to something of the past. We are so afraid to not be with anyone that we hang on to our past hurts and past pains because that's what we're familiar with. But allow yourself to heal past the pain and get rid of those relationships, get out of those relationships, break the cycle of being in a bad relationship after bad relationship. And you only can do that when you work on yourself as an individual, because there you have to know that there's something unresolved in your life that that keeps you coming back and accepting bad men in your life. So allow yourself to break that cycle by, you know, becoming one with yourself and speaking to God often and learning and understanding that your worth is far more, you know, far more valuable than rubies. Then, you know, that's the Proverbs 31, which, ladies, you guys should read that scripture backwards and forwards, that chapter, that Proverbs 31, and just really marinate on some of those qualities in that woman, because in that scripture, it also talks about how the husband praises that woman that he's with. If you want a man that praises you, I mean, not annoyingly, but a man that really truly honors you and with every movement, he finds a way to honor you with the graceful words, with edifying words. Those things, sure, not every relationship is not going to be perfect. But the relationship that you're in, and that's designed by God, even if you guys go through things, because it's a relationship that's designed by God, that, you know, no matter what you're going through, you're automatically going to come together in that right place at that right time. You're not going to stay angry at one another because the both of you are on the same path. You're thinking the same way. You have the same goals and the mission. You equally respect each other. It will find its way of meshing back together, even when you're going through those situations and the troubles. So, ladies, allow yourself to break that cycle. Become one with yourself. Allow yourself to spiritually purge yourself. Allow yourself to get into some meditation. A lot of people don't embrace meditation, but I can tell you one thing. Meditation is something that is so, so beautiful because it relieves your mind mentally. You know, sometimes when I meditate, I envision that, you know, negativity flowing away out of my brain and just falling into the sea of forgetfulness and you know, bad energies and, you know, negative thoughts, you know, are being released from me. And like my mind is going through a purging process. And it's just a wonderful feeling because then after I'm done meditating, I feel so enlightened. And it just seems like once I rid myself of anything that's not edifying, anything that's not pure and honest, then I allow those things to enter into my head, into my spirit, into my being, once I release all that's not supposed to be there. So allow yourself to get into that meditation mode. And it shouldn't be no taboo type of thing where, you know, people are so afraid to meditate. You know, you don't have to, you know, go doing seances and all that, because so many people are afraid of it because this is, you know, it's not something that we are taught about, especially in the African American community. You're not always taught about meditation, but if you read the Word of God, if you're a spiritual person, you are knowing the Word says that we should be meditating on God's Word day and night. So if he's telling us meditate day and night, and throughout the Bible, it constantly speaks about meditation. So allow yourself to divinely get in those modes, to break that cycle within you. So you allow, once you get rid of all the things that ails you, those past hurts and the past pains, then guess what? You can welcome love into your life. You automatically, just like I tell you, I wake up in the morning sometimes feeling like love, you know, and sometimes I haven't even having to comb my hair, brush my hair, having went through the process of, you know, becoming fresh for the day. But my mind is already fresh because I've allowed myself to get up and pray and meditate. And you don't have to, you know, I usually do that before I even, you know, take a shower or anything, because that it's just like a process that I go through. But it's wonderful for me because I feel so enlightened once I'm done. I feel so encouraged. And it seems like no matter what I go through the course of the day, I can remember the process of my morning, how joy and love and all of that renews in my spirit each morning. It's just like I'm fueling up for the day. And no matter what comes my way, I'm able to let it go and just keep on living until I find myself with the partner that I'm supposed to be with. And I keep saying this, but I truly believe that it's going to be sooner than even I think, because we just have to, you know, be in God's process. I'm not in a hurry to be in a relationship with a partner, because I know that when he comes to me, that it will be the right time and it will be God's time. And that's what I want. I don't want to be with a person that I'm not supposed to be with, because that's just a waste of time. You know, you ultimately, you may have a few moments of jubilance and just be happy, you know, for a moment. But, you know, if you're with the wrong person, it's going to die very quickly, that jubilance and happiness and being also in love. So you think it's going to die very quickly, but a love that is divinely put together, oh my goodness, ladies, you have to feel that. I can't even explain enough how much I feel that already. You have to feel love also within yourself. Be a embodiment of love yourself. And the person that's supposed to be in your life, he will be so attracted to that. Women think that men are only attracted to the physical attributes of a woman, but you know, men sometimes don't even realize that they're attracted to a woman because internally she's beautiful, and it just comes forth. I mean, she may not, you know, and I'm not putting any ladies down, but you know, I'm using Beyonce as a person because you know, she's a beautiful young lady. And so many men desire her. But even still, you know, even if you don't look like Beyonce, the beauty in you, you know, the beauty of you comes forth as a beautiful woman to the man that's supposed to be attracted to you, that's supposed to be divinely in your life. And then, of course, there may be some other lookers that you know, interested in how you, but you, and when you spiritually prepare, you know who's supposed to be in your life and who's not supposed to be in your life. So, Lily, I want to encourage you to break the cycle of bad relationships by identifying with what is not good. Identify with what past things that you have endured in relationships that did not work, and stop allowing yourself, just because a man wants to be a friend to you, that does not mean that he wants a romantic relationship with you. As soon as you get that, oh, you'll be in a much better position. And it doesn't even mean that later on that it may not be meant to be. But if you try to force the hand of a man who's not prepared or who's not ready, and he buckles under pressure and tries to get in a relationship with you, it's not going to last. That's why relationships don't last when women try to put pressures on their man. But ladies, you have to be strong enough. Don't let a man waste your time either. If he giving you advice like he want to be in a relationship, let him know that your time is worthy too. So you do what you got to do. You handle your business as a woman. And you know, and when a man is ready to be in a relationship with you, guess what? Again, he's going to step up to the plate and make whatever happens supposed to happen in that relationship. So ladies, you got to know that. If he feel like you just going to give him time, you know, no matter what, he ain't really got to ask for it, you just going to give it to him, then he's going to treat you like you second rate. And that's what you don't want to be like. You want to be the number one person and the only person that he wants to be with. So allow yourself to be able to live on, move on, you know, in relationships. If a man is saying he wants to be a friend, let him be your friend. And be a friend without benefits, ladies. You know, in the Christian world, we're not supposed to engage in, you know, adultery and fornication and all of that. But we know, you know, as today's time, people are living on some different stuff these days. So I'm just addressing the issue. If you are dating someone out there, and you're supposed to be, you know, friends, then let it be that. Don't allow yourself to be in a moment, caught up in a moment, and you ruin a friendship from you know, violating the friendship. You know, you're in violation of the friendship when you allow yourself to, you know, jump in bed with this person. They're not going to like you. They're not going to respect you. Eventually, you guys are going to grow apart. So allow yourself to be the friend. If a man says he wants to be your friend, let him be your friend. If he's unsure about what he wants with you, then let him be unsure about himself. Let him know, but you know, you don't even have to verbally say it, but let him handle his business. And you keep on, because the longer you stay messing around with a person that you're not supposed to be with, the longer you keep the person that's waiting for you and that desires you and will treat you like the woman and the woman of God that you are, the queen. A lot of you guys like to be called queens. But the queen that you are, you will keep that man away from you because you're messing around with somebody that doesn't even, you know, he's unsure. He's unsure what he wants to do. So allow yourself to break that cycle by just being strong enough to walk away from a situation that's not meant to be for you and that's not edifying your life, that's not causing you to be a better person. Allow yourself to be in a relationship that make you stronger, you know, that does something for you. So, again, ladies, break the cycle of bad relationships. Allow yourself to be the woman that you are intended to be and walking in your purpose and your greatness. Allow yourself to not, you know, ponder over a man that's not supposed to be in your life, or who has no intentions on trying to be in your life, or he's unsure he wants to be in your life. Let him know you got business, handle your business, and let him do what he's going to do on his own. But don't allow yourself to be stuck in a relationship that's not meant to be, because the longer you get, again, the longer you stay, you don't realize that you're missing out on something wonderful and something beautiful. You have to believe that yourself. Most of you don't believe it, because that's why you stay in those relationships. But you have to get to a point in your life where you trust God to partner you with the person that you are supposed to be with. Allow yourself to, again, break away from the cycles. Identify what those issues are that you deal with constantly, and remove those things from your life. Remove those things from your life and allow yourself to, take in the moment of being a wonderful woman, being a loving woman. Because a lot of times, ladies, you know, in our singleness, we concentrate and focus so much on being single that we're not brushing, you know, identifying with some of the things that we need to get rid of as a woman. Some things that may be turning a man off that would otherwise probably wouldn't talk to us. But, you know, some of you, I'm going to say it, some of you are very, very loud. Men don't like loud women. They really, really, truly do not. Not any respectable man. Not any man that has good intentions. They don't want a wife that is, you know, can be heard from three blocks away. You know, men love nurturing women. So you gotta know what all of those things are. You gotta pay attention to certain things and certain reactions and become a woman. Be who you are, but be nurturing, be soft, be, you know, you don't have to be weak. And people think that being soft is weakness, but being gentle and kind, men love to connect with a gentle and kind woman, but a strong woman. You can be strong and gentle and kind at the same time. Being strong does not mean that you have to, you know, put guys in the place, have attitude and all of those things like that. Being strong is being able to know who you are, letting this man know that you know your worth, and so therefore you got to live in your worth. So you have to be able to identify with that, and that's what being strong is. It's not being a person that, you know, oh, I'm strong, walking around saying I'm strong and having attitude, rolling your neck, rolling your eyes. That's not being strong. Being a strong woman is knowing your value and being able to handle your business, you know, and don't give a never mind about what he's doing. And I had to say it like that so you guys could, you know, understand it, to get what I'm trying to say. Because sometimes you got to just, you know, come down to that level and just, you know, and speak frankly. And just so you guys can, you know, begin to walk in the purpose that you're designed to walk in, and allow yourself to become spiritually strong. Because if your spirit is right, you'll be able to, you know, within a few seconds, be like, oh no, he's not, you know, he's not, he's just playing a game. Because trust me, ladies, there will be, before you know, your partner comes into your life, there will be a lot of men who will be replicas of who you think you need to be with. But you gotta be strong and be spiritually minded and be discerning. You have to discern very quickly, because God will give you the spirit of discernment. He will allow you to discern that this is not right. It's just, you know, women, we say that we have this women intuition. We get the signs early on. God saying, you know, this person is not the one. But yet we say, ooh, he got a car, he got his old house. And we start looking at the material stuff and not looking at the external stuff and not looking at the internal things that we should be paying attention to, like his spirit right? Do he respect his mothers and his sisters? Do he have his stuff together? You know, is he taking care of himself? You know, all of those kind of things. Because if all of that stuff not right, you know, is he spiritual minded? Do he love God? You know, things of that nature. If he don't got that stuff together for himself, guess what, ladies? Ooh, when you get in a relationship, you know, and try to put two worlds together, it ain't going to work. It just will not work. All right, we're going to take we got 19 more minutes remaining in the show, and I'm going to play a very quick song for you again, so that we can take a little bit of break. But I hope that you have gotten so much out of this, because I think that this is the time to just speak on relationships. And like I said, we will be continuing the relationship series, because I want women to be empowered. I want you guys to wake up out of your sleep and to begin to really take on your value, own who you are. Don't allow yourself to be stuck in a position, you know, wondering and pondering on if I'm going to be in a relationship with somebody, if I'm going to ever find anybody. Again, that correction, you don't need to be finding anybody. They need to be finding you. So you need to be out doing what it is that you do, that you're good at, volunteering. You know, people think that you just gonna meet somebody at church. That's not the truth. You know, again, I shared with you guys a few weeks ago how my aunt met her husband on vacation. My sister met her husband while she was at work. She was working at a department furniture store, and he, you know, found my sister there. So be out and about doing the things that you so desire to do. You know, if you're in a business, you know, be out and speaking engagements. You never know when your husband is going to find you and what place that's going to be. But if you're stuck in a place and always at home, guess what? You're not going to be found, because so many people, church lady sisters in the church, I want to speak directly to you guys right now. Just because, you know, stop saying that he's going to be in the church. Stop looking for men at the church. Stop looking for men at the holy convocations and the fellowship galleries and the revivals and stuff like that. Because that's not what God said, that he will find you. And he didn't say where he was going to find you. You may be going to, you know, evangelize somewhere, going to the nursing home, and you may bump into your husband there, and he may find you there. You know, you may be in a department store, he may find you there. You may go on a vacation, and he may find you there. You know, so stop being so limited. Stop limiting God. Stop, you know, affirming in your mind, I'm going to meet my husband in the church. You, God is already going to take care. He's not going to send you someone that's not loving him or serving him. God got that under control. So pay attention, understand that he has that under control. When your husband finds you and he's sent from God, he's going to already be spiritually equipped to love you, honor you, protect you, all of those things. Because guess what? The Bible says that he wants that husband to love you as Christ loved the church. So you don't have to worry about that, you know, that part of it. understand. Stop limiting in your mind. Stop thinking in your mind, well, I'm going to find him. Well, he, I already know him. And stop trying to pick him. You know, again, ladies, stop trying to pick the man that you think that you ought to be with, because it may not be the man that God wants you to be with. It may not be the man that's going to love you, honor you, protect you. You know, he may be a friend to you, but he may not be the partner for you. So you got to stop doing it. Stop trying to cater to a man who is not going to love you properly. He's unable to love you properly because he is simply not the one. All right, I am going to play a little music here, and we're going to get back on the discussion of breaking the cycle of bad relationships, because I think this is just something that needs to be talked about all the time, because until our sisters get it, because our men, they need some talking to also, but... and, you know, my motto is helping all push past you, but I need to, you know, really, you know, as a woman, I want to empower my sisters, because, you know, to identify with a certain thing, because I talk predominantly to you, and it's just, it hurts my heart to see that you guys allow yourself to be just stuck in a place, just, you know, pondering over somebody who's not giving you what you deserve in a relationship. And so it's important for me to try to help you get past that point, help you get past the yield in your life with regards to relationships. And I feel that I'm going to be an advocate for building good relationships, whether it be professionally, spiritually, romantically, because with some of the things that God has been doing in my life and just been showing me that I want to share with you. So it's very important for me to empower you with the, you know, the lessons that I learned, the wisdom that's given to me. I want to be able to hand it off to you and help you get past all of the things that keeps you from being in the relationship that you so desire. All right, we're going to play a little music, and then we're going to come back and wrap the discussion up. But thank you for tuning in to Living Life Well with Michelle Reloaded, and where we're talking about breaking the cycle of bad relationships.
I do I begin to answer the question?
right, welcome back to Living Life Well with Michelle Reloaded, and we're talking about breaking the cycles of bad relationships. This is just part two of the many conversations that we will have on relationships. But this discussion is something that I feel that the Most High is you know, breathing into. You know, we've talked about it in past times and past shows years ago, but since we've been on this air, on this Blog Talk Radio environment, and but it keeps coming back up. So I know that, you know, God wants me to truly talk about it and empower women to get past the yield and identify what their worth is, so that they can invite the, you know, welcome the king that's supposed to be in their life into their life and allow themselves to get rid of or be strong enough to walk away from the relationship they're not supposed to be in. So, you know, we've shared some of the signs to, you know, what a bad relationship is. And I think many of you know this, but, again, sometimes you just got to hear it. Sometimes we can hear it over and over again, but we are afraid to walk away because everybody wants to be in a relationship, but you shouldn't be afraid to be connected with your happiness. You shouldn't be afraid to let go so that you can connect with your happiness, I should say, because it awaits you. You know, we can design the life that we so desire. We can be in happy relationships, but it won't happen if we allow ourselves to continue to be in bad relationships and do nothing about being in those bad relationships. And don't feel guilty. One of the things I want to say, don't feel guilty about walking away from a relationship that you allowed yourself to be in for a long period of time, because there comes a time and a place where you just have to say enough is enough, and I am moving on because I deserve better. And granted that, you know, you allowed yourself to be in 6-7 years with a relationship and nothing happens different, then that should tell you right there, even after you leave and he tries to come back, there's nothing still going to be different. So, you know, ladies, you have to be strong enough. You know, gird yourself up with strength. Spiritually assess yourself and really go with inside yourself and get down to the root of those things that you've been holding on to that causes you to accept bad relationships, people that are not good for you in your life. Allow yourself to rid yourself of those. And how to spiritually do that is to, you know, meditation, I would say, first, and prayer. Not just, you know, now you lay me down to sleep. Really give God some quality time and search the scriptures, and in the Bible says in the scriptures you will find life. And so we when we search the scriptures, we will find life. We will find direction. People will be looking for words verbatim in the Bible, but it doesn't come like that. God speaks to you in wisdom. He speaks to you in signs. He comes to you by, you know, other people, you know, that walks in his love and his wisdom. There's many different ways that God communicates with us. You know, we have divine assignments of angels, a host of angels are camping around about us. So, you know, sometimes the angels of the Lord will just, you know, come around us and we will begin to see things that if we pay close attention, God is speaking to us all the time, trying to stir us in the right direction. But we choose to keep taking that detour. And every time you take a detour from God's plan, guess what? It keeps you longer and longer away from the person who's saying that I desperately love you and I want to be with you. I want to protect you. I want to love you. I want to honor you. And trust me, ladies, you got to believe and trust that God has your back and stop saying verbally, stop even thinking that there are no good men out there, because there are. There are good men out there. There are good men who want quality women. There are good men who want to be able to share their love with you, share their life with you. We can't look at what's going on in the world to the point where we're totally focusing on what's happening in Hollywood and all of those things. We have to really truly focus on what God says in his word and know him, that he is the God that he said that he is, and that he will, you know, join you with the person that you so desire in your life. He wants you to be happy. His word says he wants us to be happy, to have a good life. Don't believe me, read Jeremiah 29:11. He has good plans for our lives, so we have to allow God to execute those plans in our lives. But if we keep going against his word, going against what he's trying to do in our lives, then that hinders the process every time. God allows us to go through things because he wants us to grow and pay attention, learn to trust him, learn to pay attention to what he's telling us, learn to trust him to do what he said he's going to do. And if you do that, you won't have to be single for very long. You know, because it should be all about you and God, and then everybody else will fall into place. And the husband that's supposed to be in your life will come and, fall in position and be the head of the home like he should be. You don't want to be with a person that can't, be a head of a home. You know, you got to come in and mold them and make them and, all the little things that, if you got to do all that, God has already molded us and made us in his image. So we don't need to be doing that. We don't have to be playing God, you know. So allow yourself to accept that person that is supposed to be in your life. Allow yourself to become one with God. Allow yourself to, purge your own self of all those things of the past. Find your strengths and wear that as a daily garment each day. I know some of you might be saying it's easier said than done and that I'm already doing this, but, I too had to come to a point where even though I haven't dealt with a lot of things in relationship, that was because I got a lot of good teaching along the way growing up, some unorthodox kind of teaching, but it helped me in, making good decisions and good relationships. And like I said, every relationship was not meant to be, and I'm going to unite with my partner at the appointed time, and I'm thanking the Father for that, the Most High for that, because he's preparing me, because, I found out that I needed to change some things within myself as well. So you have to be coming to your own personal truth as well, ladies. So allow yourself to do that. In those moments of time that you're in your singleness, you'll find out some things about yourself, and you'll find out what your personal truth is, and you'll be able to walk in that. And once you walk into your own personal truth, guess what? You can truthfully be united with the partner that you're intended to be with, because God says, God will say, you're ready. You're ready, my daughter. You're ready to have that partner that I have for you. Our partners could be already, waiting for us, wanting us to be, he's like, girl, what are you doing? He's praying for us. So I always tell women to make sure that you don't pray for a husband, but pray for your husband. Even if you don't know who he is yet, or even if you think you know who he is, pray for him. Pray for his well-being, pray for his strength, because if you are already praying for your husband prior to you, God giving you the green light, then you'll always pray for him when you're together, and that will follow into the union, into the marriage. So I want to encourage you to be all that you can be in your relationships with yourself and God, and then the other things will come into play. Everything else will come into play. But learn what those things are. Break that cycle. Get away from the things that are not pleasing to your life, not edifying to your life. Allow yourself to walk away. Get the strength to just walk away and say that I am going to do what it is that I need to do for myself so that I am in a great relationship with God and that I am in a good position to be with the love of my life in the future. I just want to say thank you for tuning in to Living Life Well with Michelle Reloaded, breaking the cycles of bad relationships. Until next time, I will say to you guys, live life well and be blessed, because I know that I am truly, truly blessed. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure you tune in for next week. We have some more amazing discussions coming up with regards to relationships, and we want you to be empowered and be prepared to accept the love of your life into your life without hesitation. So I want to say God bless you again. Good night, all. I'll see you next week. We're going to play Whitney Houston, The Greatest Love of All. Good night. God bless.
You know we want to be with the greatest love of all. We want to love you in the heart. But we got to first have Christ. Have not.
I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs.